Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Tom Watson, a journalist here at Money Magazine, and it's great to be with you for another week. Today, we're back chatting about superannuation, but specifically what could well be a particularly important figure for many people coming up to retirement. Or in retirement. It's a figure known as the sweet spot. Before we dig in though, I need to introduce today's guest, and I'm very pleased to say that joining us on the show is journalist and Money Magazine contributor, Susan Healy. Susan, welcome back to Friends with Money.
Hi, Tom. Great to be back.
Oh, it's lovely to have you on the show. I think this is the first time that we've actually chatted, although I know you've been on the show before, so it'll be a piece of cake. Before I forget, I should say that Susan has written an excellent piece on the sweet spot for the June edition of Money Magazine. In fact, it's the cover story. So if you want to read the piece in full and take a look at all the details and figures, then I would highly recommend picking yourself up a copy. So Susan, before we get into the number itself, can you explain to everyone what you actually mean by the superannuation sweet spot? You know, what is it and why is it important for pre-retirees to know about?
The super sweet spot is how your superannuation amount fits with the age pension. Mm. And it's important because most Australians still don't have huge amounts in superannuation. Often financial planners like to say, oh, you know, you need $1 million to retire with, you know, to have a comfortable retirement, the right amount of, you know, income in your retirement, but actually not necessarily so. And the integration of your super with the age pension can provide a pretty good income in your retirement. I've been writing about the sweet spot since 2017 because something happened called the taper rate increase in 2017, which we'll get onto later. But a lot of Australians only retire, like in fact, at the moment, about 65% of Australians typically retire with $250,000 in their super or less. Mm. So with that amount of money, they could be, depending on their other assets, because it's a means-tested amount with your other assets, like not your house if you're a homeowner, but things like car, if you own a boat, if you own a caravan, if you own an investment property, you know, how that all fits together.
I'm sure everyone's eager to hear a figure then, Susan. So what is, I guess, the magic number that you've crunched? And I'm guessing it differs for singles and couples as well.
Absolutely, Tom. In fact, it differs markedly if you're a homeowner or a non-homeowner as well. And if you are a single homeowner, the sweet spot number is about $260,000 to have in super, because then you'll qualify for the full age pension.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a homeowning couple, the sweet spot is about $399,000. And that takes into account that you've got about $20,000 in other assets.
Right.
So that could be your car, your home and contents, and a few other things. But if your home and contents is worth more than that, and actually, typically, home and contents is worth a lot less than people think. And often, you know, you could value all those things, your car, if it's an old car, and your home and contents, more around $10,000.
How much would that figure actually come out to in terms of what someone might be able to draw down each year then?
Well, people think, oh, you know, I probably couldn't get much of an income with, say, the single homeowner, $260,000. Mm. But actually, if you put that money into your superannuation fund's account-based pension, which is typically what people do when they retire, and you draw it down at about 5%, which is the minimum drawdown rate set by the government from July the 1st, because it's been halved because of the pandemic, but it goes back up to 5% minimum drawdown, you can get an income of about $13,000 a year, which you might think, oh my goodness, that's not very much.
No.
But if, but if you combine it with the age pension, currently around $27,548, that gives you an income of about $40,500.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know if you want me to talk about a couple, but a couple will get an age pension of about $41,704 a year, and they would have more because it's two people. The sweet spot's more, $399,000. Their income from their account-based pension at the conservative rate of 5%, you know, if you think about how much you're going to earn on your investments, 5%'s often a pretty conservative amount. You can get an income of $19,950, and that'll give you a total income of $61,654.
Right, which seems pretty substantial to me, or at least not too shabby by any means.
No, and the great thing about, you shouldn't ever underestimate the age pension, because it has a very generous indexation. It is indexed twice a year, and so it's a sort of a guaranteed income stream paid by the government for the rest of your life. So it's a sort of rolled gold income because it is indexed.
So those are the figures. And in a moment, I want to dive a little bit more into the benefits of being able to access the pension versus having a higher super balance. Before we get into some of those potential benefits involved with different scenarios, I need to ask you about a term that you brought up in your piece that I've never heard of before, and that's the taper trap. So what is the taper trap, Susan, and how does it relate to the sweet spot? You mentioned it before, but I definitely need an explanation here.
Well, in 2017, the former coalition government, with the stroke of a pen, on budget night, changed the taper rate. And why the sweet spot's so interesting is because very quickly, if you have more in super than these sweet spot amounts, you lose the age pension. Mm. So people who've got, you know, who've saved very hard all their lives and diligently putting money into super, probably, you know, there is a situation where you won't have as much money in retirement or as much income than people who qualify for the full age pension. So the taper rate is people lose $3 a fortnight in the age pension for every $1,000 above the threshold, say for, you know, a couple, a homeowning couple, $419,000. So that's $78 a year, 26 times $3, or 7.8% of their incremental assets.
Mm.
And so in the current climate, their assets can't consistently earn enough to offset this penalty. So it's created this sort of anomaly that people with more super can't get the pension, people with less super can get the pension. And if they're drawing down, if both are drawing down at 5%, the minimum, and you can always draw down more, you could be worse off with more money in super.
That's so interesting to me. So just to really sum it up, so it suggests that in some cases, at the present time at least, it actually isn't necessarily better to have more money in super because of this.
Well, no, I think it's always better to have as much money as you can in retirement because you have options. Mm. You have options for aged care. You can help your kids more, getting them into property if that's important for you. Or if you have kids, if you don't have kids, then and you don't need to help anybody into property, then that's, you know, you can draw down more. You can have a better retirement. You know, 5% is only the minimum. You can draw down 10%. And, you know, you don't have to keep your retirement low, you know, the spending low. And also, I guess, health costs in old age, you never know what they're going to be. So the more money you have, more options you can have. And the great thing about super is, you know, you can access it in your retirement. You know, you don't have to get an income from it. You can take lump sums out as well. There are rules about helping you, you know, gifting as you age. So you can't sort of take, you can't give your kids $300,000 to get into property and then expect to go on the age pension because the government looks at that gift and thinks, you know, they end up counting that as part of your assets and things. So on the one hand, you can do quite well with a small amount of super and the age pension. But on the other hand, you know, the more money you have, the more options you have. And there is some evidence around that people might spend their money, their super, so that they can get a part pension. But anecdotally, I've just talked to financial planners about this, and some say that some clients are determined to get a part pension. So they might spend a lot of money on a caravan and a big four-wheel drive and, you know, two trips around Australia. But mostly people want to preserve their super. Increasingly, people are retiring with some debts, particularly a mortgage. So often that super, when they get it, goes to pay off the mortgage as well.
It sounds like there are, you know, potential benefits to both here, Susan, but at the end of the day, as you said, having more is just going to give you that extra bit of freedom. Is that kind of the gist?
I think so. As I said, aged care, 1 in 7 Australians end up in aged care, and it's hard to know what that cost is going to be. You know, there's such a variety of aged care options. So you might need money. You know, it's a terrible situation to be in, you know, if you can't afford some aged care and you need it and it's, you know, close to, say, your family, you have to move a long way away because, you know, you can't afford it and stuff. So that's very important. And of course, with the age pension, you do get the age pension concession card.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So, and what does that kind of entitle people to, Susan?
Oh, well, look, it's got a lot of benefits. One of them is that you get bulk billed when you go to the doctor. And, the benefits can amount to, you know, $2,000 or $3,000, even more a year. You get discounts on your utility bills. Of course, the fabulous cheap transport, but sometimes you can get that depending on your state with just a senior's card. And then if you can't get the pension, there is another concession card in old age called the senior's health card, which is a really valuable consolation prize. And in November last year, the federal government significantly raised the income threshold for the health card so that more older Australians have access to, you know, pharmaceutical and medical benefits, lots of discounts and other concessions. So if you have that, you can also save $2,000 to $3,000 pretty easily a year, depending on your health needs. And the income tests used to be around $58,000 for singles or $92,000 for couples. And these have been boosted last November to about $90,000. So if you have an income of $90,000 for a single or $144,000 for a couple, you do need to be the age pension age to qualify, but you can get the seniors' health card?
Are obviously so many different factors at play here, lots of figures and details. So I would truly recommend that anyone who's interested in learning a lot more about the subject to go have a read of Susan's article, because there's a lot more in there. But we are running out of time for today. So Susan, thank you so much for doing such a wonderful job of breaking the sweet spot down for us. And it's been a pleasure chatting.
Thanks, Tom. Really enjoyed it.
Don't forget, dear listener, that we'd love to hear from you if you have any questions, comments, or even story ideas for us. So to send something our way, make sure you use our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And if you're enjoying tuning in to Friends with Money, then you can help support the show by sharing it with a friend or family member. You can also leave us a glowing review on iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, or whatever podcast platform you listen on. Last of all, you can keep up to date with all the latest financial news on our website by heading over to moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast zone, but we will be right back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.